This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report. My name is Alexander Alfano. Thank you for tuning in this last week of June 2024. We are Christian Legal Ministry, advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. Thank you for joining us on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an inspiration and honor to bring you this weekly report. We know that the church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We cannot just stay on the sidelines. We must engage the culture. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with some tools to take your faith to the culture so that we can better articulate our Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, winsome, at the same time bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. Brothers and sisters, the idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. We're in a culture of confusion with no points of reference. Objective facts and divine truth are routinely subordinated to appeals to emotion, public opinion, personal beliefs. Satire masquerading as journalism has become popular. I think of the Babylon Bee, among others. Life has become funny, just not ha-ha funny. When everything becomes a joke, a meme, a punchline. Do you know someone who has become hardened to the gospel and becomes combative during spiritual conversations? Have you become hardened to the gospel? Do you become combative when engaged in spiritual conversations? Do you know people who just want to disbelieve? They insist on it, turning to sources simply to reinforce their disbelief. Confirmation bias, wherever they can find it. Brothers and sisters, we can disagree without being disagreeable. In Proverbs chapter 29, Solomon wrote, "Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath." Another Solomonic piece of divine wisdom we find in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. It reads, one that we should all memorize, really. It reads, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a person of understanding." A cool spirit, I like that. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Let's pause for a moment of self-assessment, self-reflection. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting in this last week of June 2024. Religious freedom. The Religious Liberty Report. Religious freedom rests on this simple truth. Faith is an inward disposition of the mind and heart, and for that reason, it cannot be compelled or coerced by external force. Religious freedom, freedom of conscience, religious faith. It's recorded that the first time religious freedom appears in Western literature, it's by Tertullian of Carthage, a Christian writer who lived in North Africa in the early 3rd century. Tertullian wrote, "It is only just and a privilege inherent in the human nature that every person should be able to worship according to his own convictions. It is not part of religion to coerce religious practice, for it is by choice, not coercion, that we should be led to religion." Tertullian, a Christian writer, living in North Africa in the early 3rd century. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report in this last week of June 2024, let's cover some of the legislative victories here in Florida, in Tallahassee, in this last legislative session, 2024. Number one, House Bill 3, Protecting Children from Online Harm. A landmark bill protecting children from online pornography by requiring porn site operators to verify users' age to prevent access by anyone under 18 years of age. It also keeps children under 14 off social media. House Bill 3, passing in Tallahassee this last legislative session in 2024. HB 1514, the Anti-Grooming Act, a bill cracking down on would-be sexual predators before a pattern of lewd communications escalates to child sexual abuse and trafficking. House Bill 1514, also passing the Florida Legislature in 2024. House Bill 931, the Chaplains Act, a law allowing volunteer chaplains in public schools with school district approval. Senate Bill 1264, History of Communism Act, the History of Communism Act, SB 1264, Senate Bill 1264, will enter into effect July 1st. A law requiring public school instruction on the evils of communism. House Bill 1291, the Teacher Preparation Act, ensuring that future teachers who are taking teacher prep courses in colleges and universities are not mandated to take classes that teach divisive racial and sexual identity politics. Reporting on the Florida Legislature, its last session in 2024. Highlight bills. House Bill 7063, the Anti-Human Trafficking Act, banning so-called strip clubs from hiring anyone under 21, and extending the life of the Florida Alliance to End Human Trafficking. Improving human trafficking reporting procedures and awareness signs to increase responsiveness by local law enforcement. Requiring government actors and contractors to provide sworn statements attesting that they do not use coercion for labor or services. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting in this last week of June 2024. Yesterday, President Biden taking the stage Thursday night in what some say could have been the worst act of political malpractice. There were, some said, three possible outcomes when Biden stepped out on the stage to spend 90 minutes sparring with Donald Trump. Outcome one, Biden wins. Somehow Biden has the right mix in his presentation And Trump drops the ball. Biden declared the victor. Option 2. Both candidates do okay, as usual. Another forgettable presidential debate. Both candidates declaring victory, but outcome number 3 was predicted to be Biden asked a question, looks into the camera and freezes. Nothing. Painful seconds pass, and the Biden candidacy comes to an end, live on national TV, in front of 100 million viewers. Okay, that may not be exactly what happened yesterday, but the situation is evolving. Some arguing that why would Biden, the president, even take that risk? Why? He could have simply said, I won't debate a convicted felon. As a president, I cannot demean the office by debating a convicted felon. Done. Sure, he would take a hit for refusing to debate. But here we are, the day after. A debate that risked everything for President Biden. Seconds passing, excruciating video. Did President Biden commit the most significant political blunder in presidential history? You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Late June 2024, on the backside of the first presidential debate of the 2024 election, some more news, turning the page on the report. The Supreme Court issuing a decision. Always towards the end of June, the Supreme Court of the United States ends its term. Ending the 2024 term, the court issued a decision in State of Idaho versus United States of America. In this ruling, the court did not rule on the merits of the case. Instead, sending the case back down to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit for further consideration and litigation. Well, here are the facts. The Biden administration suing Idaho and the state of Idaho in 2022, claiming that a federal law, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, requires emergency room doctors to perform abortions. That would violate Idaho's Defense of Life Act. Well, yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Biden administration cannot use federal law to wipe out state protections for women and unborn children, cannot force emergency room doctors to perform abortions in the state of Idaho. The case is going back to the lower court for further consideration. Also this week on the report, the state of Tennessee calling for 31 days of prayer and fasting, reminiscent of proclamations to pray and fast by the founders, by past presidents of the United States. During times of national concern, I liked this story. I wanted to know more. I wanted to know how this happens. Well, Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee signed a resolution calling for 31 days of prayer, beginning on July 1st, 2024. 31 days of prayer and fasting in Tennessee, beginning July 1st, 2024. Tennessee House Joint Resolution 803, asking the state's citizens to seek God's hand of mercy and healing on the state of Tennessee. Reminiscent of proclamations to pray and fast by early founders of this nation, For example, President John Adams in 1799 calling for a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens on that day abstain from their secular occupation and devote the time to the sacred duties of religion in public and in private, confessing their sins before Him with the sincerest penitence, imploring His pardoning mercy through the great mediator and redeemer. President John Adams in 1799 calling for a day of fasting and prayer in the United States of America. Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee calling for 31 days of prayer and fasting beginning July 1st. I like that one. An interesting story. For Tennesseans, a month of July of prayer and fasting as the Lord leads them. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, this last week of June 2024. Turning the page, the colloquy between Gaius and Pontius Pilate the day after. I felt it more, Gaius, than heard it. I questioned him mechanically, and he answered very little. But what he said and the way he said it, it was as if his level gaze had pulled up my naked soul, right up into my eyes, and was probing it there. Gaius, I tried to free him. From that moment on, I tried, and I'll always think he knew it. I declared him out of my jurisdiction, being a Galilean. But King Herod discovered he was born in Judea and sent him right back to me. I appealed to the crowd, hoping that they would be his sympathizers, but Caiaphas had stationed agitators to whip up the beasts that cry for blood. I had him beaten, Gaius. A thorough beating. I'm still not sure why. To appease the crowd, I guess, but do we Romans really need any reason for beatings? Well, it didn't work, Gaius. The crowd roared. If only you could have watched him. They had thrown some rags of mock purple over his bleeding shoulders. They had jammed a chaplet of thorns upon his forehead. And it fitted Gaius. And then Caiaphas played his master stroke on me. He announced there in public that this Jesus had claimed the crown, and that was treason to Caesar. The mob began to shout, "Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar!" And Gaius, I knew I was beaten. I gave the order. I couldn't look at him. Then I did a childish thing. I called for water. And there, on the balcony, I washed my hands of the whole affair. As they led him away, dear Gaius, I did look up, and he turned and looked at me. No smile, no pity, just glanced at my hands, and I'll feel the weight of his eyes on them from now on. You're tired, Gaius. I've kept you up. The fact of the matter is that you need rest. Claudia will be asleep by now. Rows of lighted lamps line her couch. She can't sleep anymore in the dark since that afternoon. You see, Gaius, the sun went out when the guards executed him. I don't know how, I don't know what. I only know that I was there, and though it was in the middle of the day, it turned as black as the tunnels of hell in that miserable city. And while I tried to compose Claudia, I tried to explain I had been trapped. She railed at me with the dream, and she's had that dream ever since, when she sleeps in the dark, some form of it. That I was there, and I had killed him. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, last week of June 2021, reporting on Pontius Pilate conversing the day after with his deputy Gaius. Turning the page on the Religious Liberty Report this last week of June 2024, I found an article about seven soldiers of the Red Army, the Soviet Army, during a period in the Russian-Finnish War. It goes like this. A strange night. I offered my services to the government and was appointed an officer in General Mannerheim's army. A terrible time. We had besieged a town and that had been taken by the Red Army. We overtook the town. A number of prisoners were under our guard. Seven of them to be shot at dawn. I will never forget that preceding day. The seven men were kept in the basement of the town hall. My men stood in the passageway, guarding them at attention with their rifles. My soldiers were drunk with success and taunted the prisoners. Some prisoners swore and beat the walls with their bleeding fists. Others called for their wives, their children, who were far away, because they knew that at dawn they were all to die. Yes, we had been victorious. We took the town. That was true, but the value seemed diminished as the night advanced. Something strange happened. One of the men, doomed to death, he began to sing. "He is mad," was everyone's first thought, but I had noticed that this man had not raved and cursed. He sat quietly on the bench. Nobody said anything to him. Each was carrying his burden in his own way. But this man, he sang rather haltingly at first. But slowly his voice grew stronger, became natural and more free. And all the prisoners turned and looked at him as he sang these words. "Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love overshadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest." Over and over again he sang that verse, and when he had finished, everyone was quiet for a few minutes. Then a wild-looking man broke out and said, "Where did you get that, you fool? Are you trying to make us religious?" The doomed soldier looked at his comrades, tears filling his eyes, and said, "Comrades, you listen to me, please, for a moment. You asked me where I got this song. Well, from the Salvation Army. I heard it 3 weeks ago. My mother sang Jesus and prayed to him often. I sing it now." He stopped for a moment, as if to gather strength, then rose to his feet. Being the soldier that he was, he looked straight in front of him and said, "It's cowardly to hide your beliefs. The God my mother believed in is not my God. I can't tell how it happened, but last night, as I lay awake, I suddenly saw Mother's face before me, reminding me of that song. I felt I had to find the Savior in that song and hide in him. I prayed that Christ would forgive me and cleanse my sinful soul and make me ready to stand before Him. It was a strange night. The singing soldier's face shone as if by an inward light. His comrades sat quietly, transfixed. "You're right," said one of the comrades at last. "If only I knew there was mercy for me too. But these hands of mine have shed blood, and now I have offended God and all that is holy. I realize there's a hell, and that's the proper place for me." He sank to the ground, the comrade did, in despair. "Pray for me. Tomorrow I shall die, and my soul is at stake." There in the winter, in the cold, these two soldiers went down to their knees and prayed for each other. Here were two men who were soon to die, seeking reconciliation with their God. The change in the atmosphere was indescribable. Some of the men sat on the floor, some on the benches, some wept quietly. None of us had a Bible, but the Spirit of God was speaking to all of us. The night was almost gone. The day was dawning. No one had slept a moment. "Sing the song once more for us, soldier," one of them said. And you should have heard them sing. Not only that song, but verses and choruses long forgotten. The soldiers guarding them joined, and the power of God had touched everyone. Everyone and everything changed. In that town hall basement, with the sounds, with the songs of the blood of the Lamb. The clock struck six, and how I wished I could beg for mercy for these men, but I knew it was impossible. Between two rows of soldiers, they marched out to the place of execution. One of them asked to be allowed to sing the soldier's song once again. Permission was granted. And then they asked to be allowed to die with uncovered faces. And so, with hands lifted to heaven, they sang with might, safe in the arms of Jesus. And when the last line had died out, the lieutenant gave the word, "Fire." We clenched our heads in silent prayer. What happened in the hearts of the others, I don't know. But I saw a new man. I was a new man. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Thank you for joining me on the report this week as we covered several items of interest. And speaking of interest, at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, you could start your new journey, and they will help you see you through it. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life. New programs at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, designed just for you. Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, Doctor in Ministry. Aim high with a degree at South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Visit them online, sfbc.edu. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. God bless you and God bless America. Still.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries